All right, I'm going to introduce the next our guest that we have today. But before I do, I was reading this article that Bruno sent me, and really, this is the introduction to them. This is the absolute introduction to them. And the article starts off with a lot of people are quite comfortable being a member of the pack. There is a certain comfort in not standing out. There are fewer expectations made of you, and you generally are on safe ground. However, not everyone is content to stay in the pack. And he calls this the three D's. The people that want to get out of the pack, he calls this the three D's. Getting out of the pack is both simple and difficult. Have we heard that before? Simple but not easy is what we say. This gentleman is describing as getting out of the pack is both simple and difficult. He calls them the three D's: desire, drive, and discipline. That's what you have to do, and that's what's required of you to break free and break out of the pack. And I can tell you the next two people I'm about to introduce are breaking out of the pack. Desire is the easiest of the three. Drumming up the desire to succeed in sales is no more difficult than drumming up the desire to win the lottery. It's that simple. You can build desire. So what would you do if you became more successful in sales? How would you improve your income improve if you improved your sales? What would you do with the extra money? How would the extra income impact your family? Would you make more trips, take better vacations, buy a new home, new car, a new boat? What happens to your desire when you let your mind and imagination go? See, desire is the easy part. I recommend everybody writing answers to those questions. What would you do if you became more successful within AA? What would you do if you became more successful with the FITS Group, National Agents Alliance? How would the income improve you? Answer those questions. Put it on paper. Let your imagination go wild. What would you do with the extra money? How would the extra money impact your family? Would you make more trips, take better vacations, buy a new home, buy a new car, or drive, buy a boat? Last night when Bruno sent this to me, I actually wrote it out. I let my imagination go wild. It was fun. It was crazy. Showed it to my wife. She's in a good mood today, and she's traveling. She's not happy about traveling. She's actually traveling with Mrs. Bruno. Drive and discipline are the more challenging parts of the success equation. Just as you cannot win a lottery without disciplining yourself to buy a ticket each week, you cannot become a sales superstar without disciplining yourself to do what it takes. Let me repeat the last part. You cannot become a sales superstar without disciplining yourself to do what it takes. Lots of you's in that sentence. Yourself, you. You cannot become a sales superstar. How do you become a sales superstar with the eight team steps? How do you become a sales superstar with NAA? The eight team steps. The things that the two people that are on this phone today are doing. The 18 steps that things are doing that Alex Avian did, that Fitz did, and so many before him did, or after him, I should say. There's not too many before those two gentlemen. What does it take to be a superstar in a particular field? In our organization, it takes the 18 steps. Sales superstars have the discipline to do what non-performers will not do. They work the numbers. Sales superstars have the discipline to do what non-performers will not do. The best quote I think I've heard Fitz ever say is, if you don't discipline yourself, someone will discipline you. If you don't discipline yourself, someone else will discipline you. And if you notice, this whole thing is talk about disciplining yourself. And finally, my intro to both Cameron and Joseph here. Last on your list is finding the drive to do all of this. To a great extent, drive is a function of attitude. To a great extent, drive is a function of attitude. 98% attitude, 2% mechanics when you're in the field, and you will be successful. If you develop a can-do, will-do attitude, you will have the basics of the drive you will need. The two people that are on this call today have a can-do, will-do attitude. So today, as you are emailing me your objections and they're answering them, and I've already gotten quite a few, remember that if you remember that if you recite these objections the way they do verbatim, but you don't have the can-do, will-do attitude that both Cameron and Joseph have, you will not have the same success as Cameron and Joseph have. It's impossible. You can't have one without the other. I can read a script verbatim the same way that someone else reads it. If the other person has the attitude, the desire, and the discipline, and the love for what he or she is doing, their script is going to be much better. I said the same thing. Paul, I'm doing everything you tell me to do. We get these emails constantly. Bruno, I'm following this. I'm following that. I wrote down a script, every single word. Every single word, word for word. I'm not getting the same results as those people you're putting on the call every Wednesday. And what are they doing? What are they doing? They have a will-do, can-do attitude at no cost. 98% attitude, 2% mechanics. Now, let's start with Joseph. I have tons of calls, tons of emails, I should say. Jason Crenshaw.
Yeah, dude.
Well, that's a good thing.
It is a good thing. I've gotten three emails already. This is a packed call, y'all.
What we're reading here is the conference call is full. No one can get in anymore.
Proud of you guys. That's awesome.
Oh, man. That's good stuff. All right. Let's get rolling here. I do have let's start off with Joseph Sexton. He is building a team. Let me give his team numbers. Fitz has now broken down the organization into teams. The first week of this month, his team, he's got Randy, is it Gratz or Gratz?
Randy Gratz.
Gentleman on his team wrote 3,295. I think he was in the top 10 a second ago. He's got Anna, Susan, Jim Wharton, and Glenn Otmore,
correct.
Otmore, okay. His team for the first week wrote $12,300. And I want to introduce him as someone that's going to be an agency manager soon, someone that's following the 2020 rule, producing $20,000 and recruiting $20,000. And Joseph, before I start hitting you with objections that I have here on my email, do a little bit of introduction yourself.
Sure. Paul, I want to take the liberty real fast to make a comment about the meeting yesterday. I wanted to clarify something. I moved about an hour and a half farther away from the office, so I'm about 4.5 hours away. And I got to tell you, man, if it was 10 hours away, I don't care. I would have been there, or I will be back. You will see me around. You know, the opportunity to see Paul Roberts in action and to see Fitz in action and just feel that electricity. Man, I'm getting goosebumps right now just talking about it. It was amazing. If you can get there, plane, train, crawl through nails, do whatever you got to do to get to the meeting. So there's my spiel on the meeting.
Awesome. What about yourself? Why do you feel that you're more successful than most? Why are you able to go out time and time again and write production? What are you doing? What are you saying?
I listen. I listen to my upline. I listen to Fitz. I listen to those that came before me, and I tune in. Man, I'm a plug. I am plugged into the system. I'm on every conference call. I am formulating good specific questions to ask my upline. I don't want to call and vent. I don't think Fitz would ever say I've ever called and vented to him. I want the gold nuggets from Fitz when I communicate with Fitz. When I communicate with some of the other leaders, I have formulated questions that I want to get. I want to mine those gold nuggets from them. But basically, I'm just doing what I've been taught from NAA. That's really as simple as it gets. I listen and I embrace the system.
Awesome. I don't have a question just yet, but I do have someone that sent me an email that's pretty impressive. What I would do with the extra money? Well, by going only NAA, my stress level has decreased drastically. I would buy more leads to make more and make more money. I would find some way to invest more into my business. My attitude has changed, and I truly believe this is why I'm writing business. This is a gentleman on my team, Travis Adams, 20 years old, who's writing a lot of business now. Been with us for a long time. And Joseph, you might be able to talk to him about that, kind of getting those emails constantly and jumping on board. And tell us a little bit about that. That's kind of exciting stuff there.
Well, I was introduced to NAA, about 2.5 years ago. And I was working a corporate job at the time, working, living paycheck to paycheck, week to week, and just kind of going crazy. I was introduced to the opportunity, talked to Fitz. I was just so impressed with Fitz. I didn't really need to know anything else, and got a temporary license. But I kind of let life get in the way. You know, I wasn't in a position, or I didn't allow myself to be in a position to take advantage of the NAA opportunity. So I kind of put it on hold, put it on the back burner. And over about 18 months, I watched guys like you explode. I watched all these other people making just tons of money, or beside the money part, hearing the lifestyles that people were living, regardless of what their paychecks were. I could just hear, I could see, even in the emails, they were living the lifestyles they wanted to live. They were living the lifestyle that I wanted to live. So finally, I got to the point and said, enough is enough. I was on an email blast from Bruno for 18 months. I feel like I knew the guy personally by that time. And finally said enough was enough, and sold out to NAA about 10 months ago. And, I could kick myself over and over again, because who knows, I might be a Paul Roberts right now. But that's okay. I am where I need to be, and I'm just so glad I got here. Took me a while to get here, but I couldn't be happier that I got here.
Well, we're glad to have you. Let me hit you with a few phone objections, okay? This
sure.
is the first email I got yesterday, so I'm going to go in order. This person emailed me yesterday, so I think this agent deserves to have their questions answered. On the phone call, this is, what do you say when someone says, hey, Joseph, appreciate the call, we've already bought elsewhere?
There are several ways to handle that, but that's a great one. Immediately. Sure, hey, that's great. I always address an objection in a positive light. Okay, that's great. That's great. Can I ask? Is it the new style mortgage protection that's out now, or is it the old style mortgage protection?
I don't know.
Sure, sure. The reason that I ask is, we want to make sure that you got everything that you needed to address your needs. Now, did they offer to pay you all your money back if you don't use the coverage?
I don't think so.
Okay, great. What I'd like to go ahead and do, Paul, just to make sure that you got the coverage that's adequate for your family, I'm going to be in your area, like I mentioned, Friday at 6 p.m. or Saturday at 9:30. Which of those works better for you?
Let's do Saturday. I like Saturday.
Okay. I think that no matter what objection that you get, you don't want to embrace it. You got to listen to it, and you got to address it, but always be moving towards the objection, which is to set the appointment. I really don't care. I'm not going to worry about what they bought. When I get there, I'll find it out. I'll find out.
Yeah.
Because, like I tell them, if you find anything else out there that's any better, let me know, because I'm going to go to work for that company. Because I haven't seen it.
That's good. What I love about what he just said, and I don't know if you guys caught it, but I caught it bigger than daylight. He said what the objection is, and I thought he was going to go back to the objection of what the customer said. And he goes, and what the objection is for me to get out there. There is no, that's the objection. It's not we've already bought elsewhere. You know, the objection for me is I'm going to get out there, and you find a way to do that, and your attitude allows you to get there. You don't try to sell it over the phone. You didn't beat me up, okay? A lot of agents, I think, want to come at you and just smack you right in the face and say, oh, there's no way, blah, 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 and just beat the person down. You beat me down on the telephone, I'm going to hang up on you, right?
Yeah, we can't arm wrestle a person over the telephone, and we can't arm wrestle them in the home. They're going to win every time. We're not in the arm wrestling business.
I like that. What about I can't afford it? I pay out enough money right now, and I just can't afford it, Joseph. Thanks for the call.
Is this over the telephone? This is still an elephant objection. Sure, sure. Mike, totally understand where you're coming from. The great news is that I'm going to show you a number of options that are available to you. This is not a take-it-or-leave-it type of situation. And frankly, I'm not even sure if we can get you qualified for it, but what we're going to do is going to go over some options, and you're going to get to pick your price, whatever is affordable for you, whatever makes sense for to protect your family. And like I mentioned, I'm going to be out in your area on Friday, 6:30 p.m., or Saturday, 9:30 a.m. Which of those works better for you?
I like it. What did you say at the beginning? I'm writing it down. You said this is not a take it or lose it. What did you say?
It's not a take it or leave it proposition, and I'm not even sure if we can get you approved for it. You get to pick. I'm going to show you some options, and you're going to pick a price that makes sense for you. And there are a million ways to handle it. There are a million objections, and there are a million ways to handle it. To me, I don't embrace it. I'm not going to jump in the boat and get objection all over me. You know what I mean? I'm going to address it. Well, we can embrace it and try to convince the customer. We're not trying to convince them. I'm not trying to convince them. If I get in the convincing game, they're gonna raise more objections, and we're gonna just have all kind of problems. I'm gonna respectfully hear it, and I'm gonna respectfully address it, but I'm not going to embrace it. We're not in the convincing game. They sent in the letter. They want it. They just need somebody to come out and show them how to get it, and that's the objective that I keep in mind. I don't care. They could tell me any objection, and I could address it however. Yeah, you know what? I love red apples. I like green apples, too. But like I mentioned, I'm going to be out in your area at 6:30 p.m. on Friday or 9:30 a.m. on Saturday. Which of those works better for you?
And it works for you.
It does.
I'm going to press send receive on my email, and I know people are going to say, well, it doesn't work for me that way. It works for you, correct?
It does.
It does.
If it didn't work for me, I'd change it.
Yeah. And I think it's your attitude that the reason it works for you. That's and I wrote, Bruno, I hope you're recording this because I'm trying to write everything, take it or leave it proposition, and I don't know if I can even get you approved. You took the control back. Bob, this is a take it or leave it this is not a take it or leave it proposition, and I don't know if I can even get you approved. Now, I'm going to be out there tomorrow between 5:30 and 6:30 and blah, 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 and I didn't say it near as good as you because that was awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. I'm going to go to Cameron real quick, but we're going to come back to you a little bit and ask you some questions as well. Next person I'll introduce is Mrs. Cameron Kimball Wilson. Did I say that correct?
Cameron K. Wilson.
Cameron K. Wilson. Okay.
Yes.
Cameron K. Wilson. Is it going to be Team Kimball, or are we going to be a Team Wilson? What's going on here?
Well, it is pronounced Kimmel, K-I-M-M-E-L.
What am I saying?
Kimball? Are you saying Kimball? Or
yeah,
Kimmel.
Kimmel.
Kimball, oh, okay, it sounds like you're saying Kimball. I'm like...
we're probably being recorded. You're probably right.
She's right.
That's okay. you know, I have not had a chance to change my last name yet, and I don't know if John Wilson would really like the fact if I kept the Kimmel team. So it might be switching over to the Wilson agency.
I hear you. Well, your team's doing incredible well as well. Both of you had a bit of a slow week in terms of your team. Doesn't that stink? The first week that Fitz breaks it out is a week that your team does a little less than what it usually does.
Right.
Always happens that way. That's why Fitz says always be prepared for everything. But your team is doing wonderful. You got a lot of producers. You got Gilchrist. You got Crenshaw, Langford, Holly Rogers. Of course, yourself. You're leading your pack with 8,493. You were one of the top HIF producers. Wasn't that correct? You were a top HIF. Let's see here. Yes, you were number two. Figured you were up there. You're building an organization and doing a great job with it. And I've got a couple of in-home objections I'm gonna throw at you that I have from some folks. But before I do that, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you're doing, and let's hear it.
Well, I am younger than most of the people in the agency. I'm 26 years old. Really, I just basically came into the insurance industry when I started working for NAA and started seeing the passion that Fitz had, Paul Roberts has, the owners of the NAA have, and I, like, leached onto them And that is what mainly drives me in this business, is the passion and the fact that you can help people along the way, and you're growing as a person. Honestly, the fact that I graduated college in December, I was working with NAA before I graduated, and man, I couldn't imagine that I couldn't believe that I found such a phenomenal company when I wasn't even done with my degree, and I don't even use my degree. I've learned more from the books that were recommended by our leaders, from the MP3s on how to handle situations. I mean, it's the best training, I believe, that's out there by far out there. So,
awesome.
And I'm excited to build a team, so.
And you're doing a great job. Your attitude's wonderful.
It's a learning lesson.
Let's get you some objections here that some folks are getting and want to know how you're writing $8,493.36 in HIF production. I love that, HIF.
I'll try my best over the phone. But let me, can I just make one more comment before you?
You bet.
The main thing is really listening to Joseph Sexton and Paul Roberts, and it's all about attitude. It's all about how you're approaching. Before you pick up that phone to make that dial, you have to know in your mind that you're helping these people. So, like, no matter what objection is thrown your way, you have to feel comfortable and confident on the phone. I had a guy last week. He did not want me to come to his house. And he kept saying, well, I've got kids and I've got dogs. And immediately I go, wow, I'm like, well, I have a hippopotamus. I just started joking with him. And he cracked up on the phone. And guess what? I got an appointment with him. So I love having fun with people. I just have fun. I have fun, and that's all it really is.
Oh, you said so much right there. So I'm going to throw some objections at you, and you probably don't get them, and I know that top producers hate getting these things.
Yeah, I do.
I set myself up in a way that I don't have these issues. I could tell when Joseph's voice is like, crud, you know, I'm so confident on the phone, man. I just bulldoze over, and my objective is to get out there, and I get out there.
Right.
So these might be a bit challenging for you because you don't deal with them on a day-to-day basis because of what you just said about your attitude. But what about the we never make a decision without talking about it a day or two or checking out our options, and we'll call you next week.
Is that on the phone or in the appointment?
This is in the home right now.
Well, you know, there's, as far as making a decision, there's really not a decision to be made. And the good thing is, Joe, or Mary, is that you will be temporarily covered while you're thinking about it. What better way if something did happen, and immediately I'd kind of go into a story of, you know, it didn't happen to me, but it happened to one of my managers where, you know, he did get two applications in the home, and the wife had an aneurysm. And she died. I mean, you never know, and going back to just in case.
Mm. Yeah. Just in case.
Just in case.
Just in case.
And letting them know. As far, with Foresters, I mean, temporary insurance, that's a huge deal. Huge.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Fidelity and Guarantee, they're going to treat that application as if you're still alive. And they have 20 days after they get that policy to think about it. There's nothing to think about it until you know that you're approved and you can see, okay, this is going to be what I'm paying for it. I'm going to have these benefits. And, okay, so now I can make my decision.
I like it. And probably the reason you and Joseph and myself don't get these, we set it up this way. Bob, Mary, all we can do tonight is apply for this. Mm-hmm. It's all we can do. And when you do that, you take off the, I have to make a decision tonight. You said it. All we can do is apply for this and see if we can get you approved. People love to get approved for things. I don't care what it is. And I can't remember which book I read that from, but it's a huge percentage. People like to get approved for things. And it's a great psychology of, hey, all we can do tonight is apply for this to get you approved. And I love that objection if I do get it. You know, I use the Jeremy Patton. Great. I smile ear to ear. Great. You got 3 to 4 weeks to think about it. And then I just, boom, go back into my stuff. You know, whether I'm at the beneficiaries, whether I'm at the Social Security number, wherever I am during the presentation, when they say that to me, I just say, great, you've got 3 to 4 weeks to think about it. And so what was your Social Security number, Cameron? And I just keep going on and on and on and on and on. And I love that one. I think it's a phenomenal one. The great close is what we call it with our team, because Patton's perfected the great close, and now we all use it. Someone tells us on the telephone they don't want the product. We say, great. Awesome. I'll be out there between 9 p.m. tomorrow and blah, 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 and just shoot it out. So.
And when you do that, it surprises them, too.
Yeah. I didn't fight with them. you know what? It was Travis Adams, a gentleman that just emailed us just a second ago and gave us that positive feedback about how his life is turning around now. He went on a presentation with Jeremy Patton. The guy opened the door, complete jerk, big guy. I believe he was a big guy. I can't remember the whole story. It was about 2 years ago. And complete jerk, opens the door and says, I'm not spending one nickel on this today. I'm not paying this. I'm not doing this. And just a complete jerk. Jeremy looks at him and says, that's great. And they walked on in. Walked out with a check for, I think, over $200. I got Jeremy motioning me here. Over $200. And Travis walked out of that deal and said, how in the world did you do that? You know, he just said, I don't know. I just always say great, and it seems to surprise him. keep that in mind. That's again, it's the attitude. You got to make sure you have the right attitude to do it. What about, this is the same thing, we need to think about it. Joseph, why don't you answer this? What do you do when they say we need to think about it?
Great. really, Paul, I'm not saying that for effect. Absolutely. I encourage you to think about it. And while you're thinking about it, your family can be covered. And this is how. And then I walk through the process of what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to do today. I always include that. What we're going to do today is we're going to fill out an application. You know, if I get it at that point after we've gone through the presentation, fantastic. Absolutely. I encourage you to think about it. If they tell me they're going to look somewhere else, I encourage you to do that. And if you find something that's any better than this, because I've shopped for you, you know, like I mentioned earlier in the presentation, I've shopped all the major providers of mortgage protection, the biggest ones in the country, and found the best program to suit your needs based on the information that you gave me. So absolutely, I encourage you to think about it, and while you're thinking about it, we're going to see if you can get covered, because my job is to get a policy in your hands so that you can get it and think about it and then make sure that it's everything that we talked about today. I don't say to make sure that you want it. Mm-hmm. So you can make sure that it's everything that we talked about today. So let's go ahead and do this. And I think in dealing with objections, that when I started out, the mistake that I made, the biggest mistake I made, was waiting for approval. Mm-hmm. And too often we wait for approval from the customer mm-hmm. to move on. I think we address the objection and move on. We don't address it, wait for approval, and then move on. Does that make sense?
Dude, that is huge.
Yeah, that is.
That is huge. That was a turning point in my career with NAA. It really was, because I used to do that, Joseph. I'm not gonna lie. I wasn't always good, but I would do that. I would address the objection and wait for some type of approval. I now learned that I just keep going and run over them. And I don't mean that in a negative way, a bad way, that I'm bullying anybody or making anybody do something they don't want to do. But I address it, and boom, I'm moving on quickly. And that was a turning point in my career with NAA, and knowing that every time I sit in front of someone, I expect to close them. And that's a huge point. I'm glad you brought that up. Cameron, you were going to say something about that?
Well, I was just going to say, whenever I'm setting the appointment on the phone, I let them know that I'm going to be putting about 4 to 5 different plans together for them, that best, you know, and we'll sit down in front of them and kind of figure out what they're really needing and then protect them that way. So that way they kind of know that I'm doing some work ahead of time. I'm not just going in there with one company.
Yeah, and the shopping thing's gone at that point.
And and the good thing is that I've never once been questioned, so where are the other 4 companies?
I know, isn't that funny?
Yeah, never.
It's your confidence. You know, it's your complete confidence, and you just show them the best product that you have. If you want me to pull out these other ones, we can do that. I'm very methodical in my presentation, and I show them the death benefit. I show them what the DI, you know, I go, this death benefit's going to pay Mary when you pass away $50,000, doesn't matter how you die. She's going to get $50,000. This right here, da-da-da-da-da, this is our top plan, blah, 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 and this is for such and such a month. This price isn't going to change, and this death benefit isn't going to change, okay? And so my process is kind of lengthy. So every time we change it or make a change and we take something out, let's say, for example, we take critical illness out, I do it again. I go over the death benefit again, explain it just the same way I explained it. Bob, when you die, Mary's going to get $50,000, doesn't matter how you die. And I go over it, boom, 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 boom. And then when I'm done, if they still, well, you know, well, we're going to look at other companies or whatever, they may say, well, great, hang on. We haven't even started with the other ones yet. And they're like, oh, God, are you going to do this again? And, you know, it's just that confidence. It's just having total confidence in what you're doing. And I don't have another presentation in my booklet. Do you guys?
Oh, no.
I mean, I don't have anything written out on Income Certain or Home Certain. Or I tell them I do.
Another important thing is the amount that is on the lead sheet. Whenever you're trying to fit it in a person's budget, our job is to make sure they do not lose the home. That's it. Make sure they don't lose the home. You don't have to cover the full amount of the loan.
I'm so glad you said that, because so many agents call and say, hey, well, they couldn't pay. They were too old and they couldn't afford it. And I said, what'd you offer them? Well, I offered it to them. They just can't afford it. And I said, well, did you lower the death benefit? Yeah, and he said, that just doesn't make sense. 6 years of mortgage payments for his wife doesn't make sense. Let me just show you an example here. Let's say their mortgage payment. Well, Bob, what's your mortgage payment? It's $650 a month, okay? Let's do that times 60 months, which is 5 years. Let's put in a policy tonight for you. I know you can't afford this one yet. We can come back and add to this later. No big deal. But tonight, let's give Mary 6 years of comfort of knowing that she can make 6 years worth of mortgage payments. And let's write a policy up tonight for $39,000. This policy is going to be much more economical for you now. I know times are tough. I feel for you. Let's get something in place for you, because it's going to get tougher if your income isn't here. Are you with me? And that's just what Cameron was saying. I just kind of went off. Sorry about that.
No, that's fine.
But that's such an important point. You know, we think that we have to cover the full amount, and we lose sight of that. You know, I got people in California that want to write the whole thing, the entire thing, and they're like, well, I had to go to this because I had to write the whole thing. That's all they wanted. And in very, very small cases, is that correct? Very, very small cases, is that correct? Because every time I send Jeremy out there, he writes non-medical every time, because he does what you just said, Cameron. What you just said, he doesn't worry about, you know, okay, I got to protect this whole thing. He just wants to take care of Mary for 4, 5, 6 years. What widow would not be happy with 6 years worth of mortgage payments?
Right.
Go ahead, Cameron.
And just basically the psychology behind it on the cell, as far when I'm on the phone at the very end, which I believe Holly Rogers, I got my phone presentation from her, and she had been listening to Fitz on the phone. But is at the very end of your conversation, ask them what their concern is. Mm-hmm. What is your main concern, and write that down. That way, whenever you go in the home, I'm going to ask them again. That's the first thing I ask them, is when I sit down and I pull out the lead. And I just look at them and I ask them, what's your concern? Again, just to reiterate, it reminds them why this is important. The same thing that's going through their mind at that moment was probably going through their mind whenever they filled out the letter.
Absolutely, and you got to get to it. Let me throw another couple of emails that I've gotten here. Send me a quote. I want to compare prices. I don't need to be convinced. I know what I want. I just want prices. Mm-hmm. How would you two answer that?
You want to go for that, Joseph, or you want me?
Married ladies first.
I like that.
No problem. Well, the reason why I am coming out to see you is you are qualified for a non-medical, and I can give you a price over the phone. I have policies as low as $20 and policies all the way up to $150. The main thing is that I do have to see you. That's why I love my job. I get to meet a lot of people, and we'll just sit down and kind of figure things out and see what you're looking for and go from there. I have Friday at this time or Saturday at this time. It'll take about 15 minutes.
Cool. And if you're catching her attitude there, her attitude is very non-threatening. You know, we're just going to sit down, you know, we're just going to sit down. And here's a guy that's afraid to be bullied until he'd be walked over and sold or convinced of anything. And by Cameron's attitude, that little itty-bitty stuff there that she has, you know, we're just going to sit down, you know, go over a few things. Very non-threatening. Cool. Come on out. Be there at 9:30. What about you, Mr. Sexton?
I do something really very similar to what Cameron does. And for me, it's I kind of laugh. I say, you know, nothing would make my job easier. I wish I could do that. You know, the great thing about this coverage is this, and I lower my tone. I make it sound really important. I said, you can qualify for this with no medical exam. You know, meaning no one's going to stick you with a needle. No one's going to make you run on a treadmill. They're not going to do height and weight. They're not going to check your blood pressure. I make it sound really bad. The state requires us, the state says that we can offer this, but the state's going to require us to visually verify your health. Now, if you're on an iron lung, that's fine. We just have to make sure that you're alive and kicking. And inevitably, I get a laugh, and then I know I have an appointment.
You brought them to your mood. You slowed down. You talked in your deep voice. This is very non-threatening. Hey, just need to come see you. Right?
Exactly.
Works for you like a charm. I love it. And again, guys, it goes back to attitude. I know so many of us on these calls want to hear just that certain thing. I just need to, if I say Bob three times during the appointment, will I get the cell? It doesn't, you know, it's how you say Bob. You know, it's the fact that Joseph just said what he does is he slows down, he talks a little deeper, makes it sound real serious. And I got that impression when he was just saying it right now. I got the impression also as an agency manager that Joseph understands the benefits of a non-medical product. He understands it. He gets it. If you don't understand and get it, go get it. Go get it, because that's where we are, and that's what will make you successful. Another thing to do to practice is, you've heard what these two wonderful agents have said, practice. Record what you are saying. You know, do your entire presentation, record it, rewind it, listen to it again. Notice you're saying funny things at funny times. You know, well, I don't wait for approval. I give them the ejection and move on. Maybe you don't. Maybe you haven't recognized that yet. That little antsy-beansy bit of time that you stopped and waited for approval, maybe that's why you're getting these objections and more of them, and you're letting these objections kick you out of the home. I'm here to tell everybody on this call today, nobody wakes up in the morning excited to purchase life insurance. We have to make the decision for them. They want it. They absolutely want it. They know they need it for their loved ones. They don't like to make the decision to do it. We have to do it for them. And if you think for a moment that when you set that appointment and they're waiting around all day for you to show up, you're sadly mistaken. They don't wake up and get excited to buy life insurance. Heck, I don't. You know, I bought another policy on myself, and it took me 2 weeks to do it. I was thinking about it. I have a lot of life insurance on me. Don't worry, guys. But I was buying another policy because I'm excited now that I can do a fully medically written product with Foresters, because I already have a non-medical product with Foresters. Now I can do a fully medical for about $800,000. But I didn't wake up that morning excited to do it. You know, when Fitz bought his brand new Lexus, I bet he was juiced and excited. We get excited to buy things like that. That's fun. We don't get just, you know, your agent, your clients won't just get completely out of control, can't wait for you to be here. And if they are, if they are excited and they can't wait for you to get there, something's wrong with them. You walk out, I just had the easiest sell ever. They just couldn't wait for you to be there. Well, tell me what was wrong with them. And that's the truth, guys. And we have to make the decision for our clients, and that's what these two agents are doing, and they're saying. I like to say they're bulldozing over them, not in a bad way, but they're making the decision for them, a better decision for their family, and they're going to leave that family off much, much, much better. And do you guys want to end with anything before I finish up here?
Just have enthusiasm. Have enthusiasm for what you do, and if for some reason you can't find that passion, find it. Because the second you do, you'll be successful, I promise.
Yep. Joseph?
I'm not sure where I read this, Paul, but it was golden when I read it, and it has to do with objections. It's human nature, given the choice to make a decision or procrastinate, it's human nature to procrastinate. And it's the client's job to be human. It's okay. We don't have to take it personally. And it's okay if you get some objections. It's okay. It's all in how, is it gonna hamstring you? Is it gonna knock you to the floor? Or are you just gonna keep working through it? Given the opportunity to make a decision or procrastinate, people are gonna procrastinate. And like you said, they want to be led, and we have to lead them.
Absolutely. Love it. I want to end with something that I have prepared here, but before I do that, last week in the sales meeting, people think I made a flippant comment about people lie about not having a checking account. You know, that's the objection. Well, they don't have a checking account. We can't do the PAC, da-da-da-da-da-da. And I was a bit flippant in the way I said it, and I said, well, you know, everybody lies. And it was a bit of a joke, but not a joke. And I have also, in my two-year career with NAA, and I probably need to quit saying 2 years, and I'm probably over that now, but I'm kind of stuck on that. But in the 2 years with NAA, I've never done a money order. I've never done a quarterly payment. I've never done a semi-annual payment. I've done one annual payment because she had a credit card and wanted to get airline miles. Cool. But the reason why is I'm very confident, and I hate to use the word arrogant, but almost arrogant in the sense that I know they have a checking account. They just did a loan on a house. I used to do mortgages. They have to have some type of checking account of some sort. So when I go over, you know, well, I need a check and da-da-da-da, and I'm very, you know, I need a check written out for $35.39. And, again, I don't have the problem of the PAC. And I decided to take it to a new level this last weekend. I was down south, and we got through filling out the entire application. I said, great, I need a check written out to Foresters in the amount of $36.03. That was the exact amount. And she said, I don't have a check. All I can pay is cash. I looked at her, and I said, I can't take cash. All I can take is a check. I swear to everybody on this telephone, she got up and went and got her checkbook. Just boom, got up, got her checkbook. She said, I hate writing checks. Just can't stand it. It's all I can take. Monthly, I send out a newsletter to you, and you're going to get a picture of my goofy face to talk about other products we offer. Boom. Like Joseph said, I didn't wait for approval. I said what I had to say, and I moved on and started talking about kit marketing. And you'll be shocked at how many people actually have checking accounts. All right. Guys, thanks for being here. Thanks for being there yesterday. That was some great stuff. The three of us got to stand up because that was a huge honor, and I don't know if you two recognize how huge of an honor that was that Andy Albright asked us three to stand up and be recorded in Fitz's call. That's huge. And I talked about trust yesterday and trusting in the system, and they trust in us, and they trust in us three, and that's pretty cool. And I hope you guys held your head high knowing that it was Andy that asked us three to be up there. Enough patting myself on the back. I want to finish off with this. If you want to find your calling in life, if at the very least you want to make sure you're working in an area where you have the greatest potential for success, then take a long look at your shape, S-H-A-P-E, and make sure that you're a good fit for your job. SHAPE is an acronym. S stands for strengths. Take a long look at your strengths. H is heart. Make sure your heart is a good fit for the career that you have chosen. A is attitude. When you are marking up if this is a good career for you, pigeon your attitude against the two people that are on this call today. Do you have the same attitude? I don't think pigeon is the correct word to say there, but I used it and it sounded good. Attitude. P is personality. You know, when you're measuring your shape are you in the right career, you want to go over all of these. Measure up your personality. And lastly is experiences. Not experience. I don't care about experience. I care about experiences. And if you notice, a lot of the top producers have great experiences. I have experiences in that my past experiences failed. I had to correct those. Life experiences is much more important than experience. So I'll read it again. If you want to find your calling in life, if at the very least you want to make sure you're working in an area where you have the greatest potential for success, then take a look at your shape and make sure that you're a good fit for your job. And again, shape is strengths, heart, attitude, personality, and experiences. I don't doubt the shape of these two folks that were on this call today. And you shouldn't either. And I hope you measure your shape up to their shape in order to do what they're doing. You guys go get yours because I'm getting mine. And Fitz will be back next week, I do believe, hosting this call. Is that correct, Bruno?
As far as I know.
Is my tenure of 2 weeks done?
Yeah, you never know. This might become your full-time job. You're doing a great job, man.
I appreciate that, sir. You guys take it easy, and we'll see y'all next Wednesday.